left off. We left off last week with a little bit in the middle of the topic. If you remember, last week we were discussing the source of the prohibition and the limits and the parameters of the prohibition of chukas akum, of the prohibition of the Torah, b'chukoseim lo selechu, then you're not allowed to go walk in the ways of the idol worshippers. And the question was, how broad is that prohibition? Because at face value, to go in the ways of the idol worshippers is, if you say in any ways, anything they do, we don't do, so that's very difficult to pin down exactly where that applies. So if you remember last time, just in order to delve into the next source, which is really, I would say, maybe one of the primary sources on the topic, if you remember last time we had two Gemaras. We learned two Gemaras, one Gemara in Sanhedrin, one Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Avodah Zarah were both dealing with, or both touched upon, the same question. How is it possible that we can, that Beis Din can use Sayif, killing somebody by sword, or what is the proper way for Beis Din to kill somebody by sword? The Gemara in Sanhedrin wanted to know, is it by having a person stand there and you cut his head off while he's standing up, or do you lay him down like a guillotine and chop his head off? That was the difference of opinions there. And the Gemara said, what's the machlokas? So the Gemara said, is it a problem of b'chukoseim lo selechu? Is it a problem of going in the ways of the idol worshippers, because they also used to put people to death by, apparently in those times, standing people up and cutting off their heads. So the second opinion of the Mishnah felt, it was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, felt that that was prohibited. It's not on that sheet. That was prohibited. I'm looking at last week's notes. That was prohibited because it was similar to the way that the non-Jews would kill people, and therefore he felt that we had to use a different way. The Rabbanan, the first opinion of the Mishnah, however, disagreed and said that since Sayif is written in the Torah, the concept of killing, that Beis Din kills one who is Chayav Misa by the sword, kills, that concept is written in the Torah, therefore it is not prohibited in the prohibition of Chukas Akum. And that was the Gemara's answer. And the Gemara says, just like by Sreifa, since we have the concept of Sreifa in the Torah, the Gemara says, that Sreifa was referring to burning the belongings of kings. When a king would pass away, and they would burn his possessions and his belongings, they would burn his belongings and his all that he had. So the Gemara says, why is that okay? Isn't that also something that we picked up from the non-Jews? Isn't that something that the non-Jews do? And they would then deify the king, that they would burn his belongings. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, since the concept of burning the belongings of a king are found in the Torah, in Lav Davka in the Torah, it's actually found in the Navi, but since the concept is found, therefore it can't be prohibited by the Pasuk of Ubechukoseim lo selechu. That was the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah dealt with it in a different way. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah also asked, how is it possible that we're allowed to burn the belongings of a king? Isn't that something that the non-Jews do, the idol worshippers do, and then they may deify the king? So the Gemara says, no, burning the belongings of a king is simply an act of respect. The Gemara says, it doesn't show worship. It's not something that they do for Avodah Zarah, but rather it's just a sign of chashivusahu. It shows that this is an important king. This is a king that they thought was a very important king and a respected and honorable king, and therefore they were to show that they would burn his belongings. So those are the two Gemaras. Now the problem that Tosus points out in Avodah Zarah, if you remember, is that they contradict each other. On the one hand, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that burning the belongings of the king is not chukas akum because it's not being done for Avodah Zarah. However, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that it seems to say that it would be considered chukas akum, except for that it's written in the Torah. So which one is it? Is it actually chukas akum, but it's okay because it's written in the Torah? Or do we say, no, it's not chukas akum, it's simply chashivusa ba'alma, it's just honor and respect, and therefore it has nothing to do with chukas akum. So Tosus says, the answer is that there's a difference. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah is telling us that it's not Avodah Zarah. He tells us there are two types of chukas akum. There's one type of chukas akum, which is the acts that they do, their practices that they have, that are for their worship. That's one type of chukas akum. And even if that's written in the Torah, it would be prohibited for us to do. That, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, well, burning the belongings of the king, it's not Avodah Zarah. It's not category one chukas akum of Avodah Zarah. It's category two, where it's being done for respect, for honor, for something else, not Avodah Zarah. Now that it's being done in that way, that it's for respect or for Avodah Zarah, so we're just recapping last week to get us back up to speed. So if it's just out of respect or out of honor and it has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tosus says, comes along and tells us still it would be prohibited for us to follow in the ways of the Akum, but it's okay because it's written in the Torah. Right? So Tosus has like a two-level chukas akum. There are two types. There's one type which is actions that are done as part of their worship. It is prohibited, even if it's written in the Torah. So the Gemara Avodah Zarah needs to tell us that that act of burning the belongings of the king is not Avodah Zarah. So what is it? It's honor, it's respect, it's chashivus. Then the Gemara in Sanhedrin is telling us that still, even though it's not for Avodah Zarah, it still might be a problem for us to do, except for that it's written in the Torah. Which means that according to Tosus, any act that would fall under the category of chukas akum, that's being done, in his words, for shtus vehevel, for whatever reason, it's prohibited for us to do unless it's written in the Torah. If it's an act of their worship, even if it's written in the Torah, it's prohibited. But if it's not an act of worship, but it's just one of their customs, something that they picked up, we can't follow that practice unless it's written in the Torah. Which would obviously be a very broad prohibition. That's a very broad prohibition. So, we have to see the next source. So that's one of the main opinions, is the opinion of Tosos. And the Shulchan Aruch seems to quote Tosos, the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch.
He's starting early.
I told you. And his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch follows that opinion of Tosus. Now, the Maharik. I'm sorry, I didn't get a date on when he lived. I don't know if someone has a smartphone thing to forget when the Maharik lived. It would just be good for us to know. I meant to look it up. I ran out of
time. Maharik.
On this page. The page is just one source. Maharik. So the Maharik was asked in his day about wearing a specific type of clothing for doctors. He wanted to know about a doctor. It sounds like a doctor coat, right? Like a white coat. So if you look at his question, he says, "Al das a kappa." The kappa in his days, what that meant was a white coat, a doctor, special coat for doctors. Asher kasavten vihi arucha ad la'aretz. It's a long coat. Holeches panim va'achor. You wear it inside and out. Psucha min hatzdadim. It's open on the sides. V'amnam misukenes tikun hagun liyos p'turim mitzitzis. Okay, it's not p'turim. It's not chayim mitzitzis. He says the imamu aleha k'tas anashim. But some people are questioning it. L'fi divrechem ba'amram heyos b'zeh mishum b'chukusem l'oselechu. Some people think that there's a problem to wear this kappa, doctor's coat, because of ubechukoseim lo seleif. So, there's a lot. You got it?
1420 to 1480.
So the 15th century, right? 1420 to 1480. Thank you. So that's when he was asked about this doctor's coat. So he says, Lafianius daiti, starting on it's the page that says 3 on the top. He says, Lafianius daiti nira de dover pasha de lola esor mishum chok. He says, I think it's clear that there are only two ways, and really he means three, and we'll talk about that. He leaves out this whole idea of actually actions that are done for worshiping Avodah Zarah. He leaves that out. I think he assumes that that's obvious, that for us to do something that they do to worship Avodah Zarah, that that would be prohibited. But he says there are two types of actions that are prohibited. He limits the prohibition of Chukas Akum to two categories. Ha'echad, which is by, I have a little bit of a different sheet because I made notes on here, but I think there's an arrow there. Ha'echad, hu hadavar asher ein ta'amo niglek demashma lashon chok. One is, as the chok implies, that there's no reason. Right? There's no. It's where there's a double underline. Ha'echad. The first one, he says, is when it's a chok. What's a chok, classically?
A law with no reason.
A chok means a law with no reason, right? So normally when we find the word chok in the Torah, we see that it doesn't have a reason. Chukah, right? The whole idea of a chok. Paraduma is a chok. Shatnez is a chok. Things that we don't have a reason for them. They're a chok. And he quotes sources to prove that. We all know Zos Chukas HaTorah, Kogma the Paraduma. It's a chok. It has no reason for it. So if we look at the pasuk and we say Ubechukoseim Lo Seilechu, and I ask you what type of actions would be included in that prohibition, our first reaction would be, well, it says Ubechukoseim. It says chok. It means that if they're doing something for no reason, for no apparent reason. So if you now skip down to where it's next, where the underline. The first one is Shehu Osa Davar Mishuna Asher Ein Bo Ta'am Nigla. They do something different, which is probably an important word. Right? They do something different, or I would say maybe unusual. Asher Ein Bo Ta'am Nigla. That doesn't have a revealed reason for their action. Elashem Nogim Kain Az Nira Vade Kanimshach Acharem Modelahem. If you then were to follow that practice, something that has no reason, and is different, meaning it's unusual for a person to do such an act, and we don't know why they do it, that would be Chukas Akum.
Any act would be different, like, when it's first starting.
That's true.
Like wearing a tie, like, you know, someone decided at some point, hey, let's put a useless piece of cloth as a design.
Right. And so it was just to spruce up the outfit a little bit, otherwise it's just black and white. Yeah.
And a piece of cloth.
Right. The colorful cloth. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Where do you draw the line? We still need to draw that line. And that's what we'll try to do for the rest of tonight and probably next week as well. See some of the tshuvas that are discussing where and how to draw the line. There's a lot of literature on exactly that question because it's hard to, it seems like the poskim are struggle with, it's hard to accept that it's just an open-ended prohibition with no, you know, because otherwise you can't walk, right? The first person to, again, Rav Moshe Feinstein, I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked about wearing modern clothing. Are you allowed to wear Western-style clothing? Because it was different. Right, so I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but hopefully we'll get to it. So that's the first type. He says, because why? And this is an important line. Az nire vaday ken nimshach acharehem umodelahem. What's the reason for the Isser, the Maharik is saying? Why is it prohibited to do something that is unusual and we don't know why they're doing it? Why would it be prohibited for us to do that? Because by doing it, it looks like we are nimshach acharehem, that we are following them, umodelahem, and we're agreeing with them. We're agreeing with what their beliefs. The imlokein lama yasek dvarim hatumim ha'ilah. Because if not, then why would you do these dvarim tumuim, these unusual, strange practices? Okay, now skip down. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, now probably 20 lines down. The Inyan Hasheni. It has a double underline under the word Inyan Hasheni. So that's type one, right? According to the Maharik, type one of action that is prohibitive is, I think there's more, Mark, if you want. Are there more sheets? There should be another one. The type one is that it doesn't have a reason. Again, I would add, according to Maharik, that it seems to be something unusual, and it has no reason for it. We'll have to see how much of that translates over into the halach. Linyan Hashemi, yesh bo, sorry, yesh leesor mishum chuko sagayim lefi hanirin lefi anyuz daiti hu, the second type of action or practice that I believe, the Maharik says, should be prohibited under this prohibition in the Torah, hadaver asher shayach bo nidnud pritzas geder v'hatznius v'ha'anava yinahagu bo hagayim. Anything that is that breaks the fence, or the line of tznius and anava, of modesty and humility, any practice, any type of clothing, or any type of action that is immodest and not humble, that would also be considered as part of this. And he quotes proofs for that. And skip down to the next underline. The Avgam Zos Nira Dehainu Davka Kishu Ose Kedelehi Damos Alem Velo Luto Elis Yadua. But this as well, and this now he's including both of these types of Yisurim, they are only prohibited when it is done Kedelehi Damos Elehem, in order to be similar to them. Or to look similar, lehidamos from the word dome, to be similar to them, velo letoelis yadua, and not if there is a known specific reason for the action. Kidemash mahaloshim dekamer shalot tomer hol, okay. And if you skip now to the next line at the end, the lo shayach leesor mishum holich achar chukosehem, the only time that it is appropriate to say that it is prohibited to go in their ways, elahecha shehadvar marim sheyisrael mizdame elehem, is when we're trying to do something that makes us look like them. Kigon sheose maase hatmiya asher ein litlos tam ba'asiyasim, like we're doing something unusual. This act of tamia, of that will beg question, where there's nothing to hang the reason on, to explain the reasoning behind, ela mipnei chukam, except for to follow their ways. For an example, I don't know that this exactly would fall under it, but let's use it as an example of something. What?
Be careful.
No, let's say something like having a tree. Right, an Exodus tree, something like that. So it's unclear whether it actually has any real religious connotations to it, where the source started. But even if it has no real source, it would certainly be something that is done, that is, I would say, that if a Jew were to do it, he would only be doing it so that it should be like them, right? The whole purpose of having a tree would be that it should be like the non-Jews. Right? And this is where, when we discussed, I turned off the tape recorder when we talked about it the first time, but when we discussed having the lights, lights.
Yeah, you never really uploaded
it. I do in a few years. Someone asked me to upload this series, so maybe I'll start with the series and then work backwards or something. But the lights, you know, that's why the lights has become the whole reason for doing the lights, that to dress up a house with lights would almost be just to be like them, right? And that's why it would be so.
Hanukkah.
What?
But there's more.
So that's right, the Hanukkah lights. So that's where you get into that question: are they Hanukkah lights, but are they just lights that are for Hanukkah? But why are we dressing up our house on Hanukkah, right? Because we want it.
Yeah.
Yeah. To put the menorah in the window.
Well, the menorah only lasts
as long as the fire.
Right. How many
of these are in a row? Right here. So something to think about. So now he says, "V'kol shekein v'levishas hakapa." He says, so now apply these two types of chukas akum. Again, to review. The first type, he says, is where there is no reason. It's an unusual practice that has no known reason. And the second one is something which is done for lack of modest or humility. Right? Those are the two categories, and I would add that I think the Maharik would obviously agree that any practice that is specific to the worship of Avodah Zarah would also be prohibited. So if having a tree was part of their worship, obviously that would be prohibited under this prohibition in the Torah of Chukas Akum. Right? But he's adding these other two types. And if it's Avodah Zarah, okay, obviously that's Aser. These are two things that are not necessarily for Avodah Zarah. One is where we don't know the reason, and the second is where it's done for immodest or actions that are specifically done to show no humility. So he says, obviously, if you then apply that to wearing a doctor's coat, he says, so it's obvious that it's okay. He says, "V'kshein iser b'daber u'pshita d'lo dami lo'osan ha'shnim b'tosefta shari tam levijasa yadua." Because it's known why you're wearing this doctor's coat, the siman hayosam mi masigim bechachmai. Because it was the doctors who would wear these. So everybody knew why they were wearing it. There was a known reason. Vein litlos levishasa kiim litoelas hanimshach mimenu. And there's no reason to assume that anybody's wearing this for any other reason except for because he's a doctor, and this shows that he's a doctor. And if you look at the next underline, the reason why a person would wear that coat is not because he wants to be like the non-Jews. It's not because he wants to look like them. It's because he's a doctor. And he wants to be viewed or treated or respected or honored or whatever reason as one of them. And that's what therefore he says it doesn't make sense to include that because it's all for a reason. And if you look now at the finger, the hand, the finger pointing, Hare lechav dekol shehu mishum toeles v'kavod mutter. Afagav dehir yilu bo da'amoran. And anything that is done for a purpose, or for honor, or for respect, is mutter, even if it's something that the non-Jews do. He says, because you're not, your intention, we see, the intention is not to be like that. That seems to be the main issue is that if you were to do this, it would be only to be like them, to follow them. But if you have a reason for it, and then it's not just to be like them, then it would be allowed. Yeah, you're
a question. I was going to say, but Parnassa usually
allows leeway. For sure, yes. Well, what do you mean for Parnassa?
The doctor coat, you know, if people didn't recognize them to be the doctor, if they symbolized the coat with being a doctor, and then not let some, you know,
I would say that here you don't even need the Parnassa issue. I mean, it's true. Parnassa if you need something for Parnassa, it allows certain things. But here you don't even need that. Here what we're saying is that it doesn't even enter into the prohibition because there's a reason for wearing it. And once there's a reason for wearing it, then it would be okay. Right? So, okay. I'll show you the example.
I think I want to bring it beforehand. You mentioned that you know, do something that if someone and worship, even if you're not saying it's a worship, you're going to do it. Since people in the Olympic days worship the sun,
yeah.
Then we can let them leave or get a mug, you know, get a sun tan?
No. So the Mishnah talks about that. The Mishnah talks about, you know, if you have a person, if you have a group who worships a mountain, so does the mountain become prohibited that I can't walk on the mountain? Or
we
talked about the sun. Right, we talked about
that. Well, there's
that,
group
right.
people that worship the land itself, and
right.
it can't be on land.
But I'm saying nothing going on the mountain. If they were worshiping it,
no, it's the same thing.
If
you get benefit from it.
If it's a person who is
let's say sun. I think the Mishnah also talks about the sun. We talked about it when we talked about Tillis' house. We were having a barbecue, I think, right? We talked about the mountain. You checked the, you got the picture of the mountain on the phone.
So what's the difference, you know, with the tree?
So it doesn't become usr. You can't make the sun usr.
No, everyone benefits from it, but if your sole activity is lying on a chair, putting a little, you know, thing on your lips to it, raining the sun, you're really
getting benefit from it. You're just taking it one step further than maybe there's some other people, but you're still just getting benefit from it.
What about the tree? You have to offer
so this tree is a separate issue. Yeah, the tree is a question as to why the tree came. Yeah. Okay, so that's the Maharik. Now there is another opinion of the Ran that is slightly different, basically the same. The only difference is, from what I understand, is the first category, this first type of act that the Maharik says has no reason for it. An unusual act that has no reason, that people are, if you saw you doing it, it would be just to be similar to them. The Ran, I believe, adds that the reason why we're so concerned with actions or practices or customs that we don't know the reason for is that we're concerned they're all really connected to Avodah Zarah. Right? And that would tell us that it would specifically be dealing with Ovdei Avodah Zarah, people who would be categorized as Avodah Zarah. But it would be that he's concerned that every unknown practice and custom ultimately reverts back to being connected. We just don't know it. Right? So if we don't know why something's being done, we should assume that it's being done for Avodah Zarah. Right? It's a little bit different than the Maharik. The Maharik is, Maharik doesn't deal with that. He doesn't mention that if we don't know why this happened, why they're doing this, maybe it's because it's connected to Avodah Zarah. He leaves it at, if we don't know why they're doing it, don't do it, because the only reason to do it would be then to be similar to them. Okay? So the way that we paskin is that the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama, Rav Moshe Isserles, which is the Ashkenaz of Halacha, he quotes this Maharik and the Ran, basically. Right? He follows that opinion. And the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, as I mentioned, he follows the opinion of Tosfos. The reason why he follows the opinion of Tosfos is because if you think about what we've just discussed in this opinion of the Maharik, there's one thing that we talked about last week in these Gemaras that we talked about that is completely missing according to him. Right? If you remember, the Gemara in Sanhedrin said that why is it okay to do these things? Sadiq cut the person's head off to burn the king's belongings? Because it's written in the Torah. So according to the Maharik, we didn't see anything about that. But Maharik makes no mention of the Gemara in Sanhedrin to explain why something would be allowed. We see that something might be allowed because there's a reason for it. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah that says, why can we burn the king's belongings? Isn't that what the Avodah Zarah do to their kings? So the Gemara answers, no, it's only chashivas. It's just honor. They're not worshipping them. That fits the Maharik. We can explain the practice. There's a reason for the practice. You know, we're not doing it to be like them. We're doing it because it's a sign of honor. So once you can explain why we're doing it, we're wearing the doctor's coat because that's what doctors wear. So we're burning the king's belongings, not because we want to be like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but because it's a sign of respect. It's chashivusa. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah fits very nicely with the Maharik's whole idea. What about the Gemara in Sanhedrin? That something is allowed because it's written in the Torah, and other things that aren't written in the Torah are not allowed. So the Maharik makes no mention of that Gemara. So the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, says, what about that Gemara? How can you ignore a Gemara? And therefore he dismisses the Maharik's opinion and follows Tosis' opinion that the only things that are allowed are things that are written in the Torah. Any practice of Ovdei Avodah Zarah is prohibited according to the Vilna Gaon unless it's written in the Torah. And according to him, there's a big question of until where? Where do you stop that prohibition? If it doesn't have to do with Avodah Zarah, it's just one of their practices that for no reason. So where would you draw the line to say, but that's already okay, we can walk. Just because they walk doesn't mean we can't walk.
Well, so there's a reason.
According to Tosis, it doesn't matter. If you remember last week, we said Tosa said that the only time it's okay to do something that they do is if it's written in the Torah, and it's not connected to Avodah Zarah. So then, where do you? So okay, we have to answer
well,
that question.
Said that Abraham walked.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. So okay. So he, yeah. So walking. So, but something, you know, where would you draw the line? Or maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you'd say, yeah, whatever you find in the Torah is the normal way to act, and beyond that would be prohibited. But the Rama doesn't agree with that. And the way that he answers the question about the contradiction of the Gemaras is, the two Gemaras are arguing. Right? Who says they have to be saying the same thing? And we follow the Gemara in Avodah Zarah's reason to explain why we burn, why we're allowed to burn king's belongings. Not because it's written in the Torah. We don't paskin that way. Rather because it's a sign of honor. Which means that if we can explain and have a rational reason for why something is being done, then we're allowed to do it. Right? That's the way the Maharik would basically... That's what the Maharik would basically say. So let's do one example tonight. We'll probably just have time for one example. And that's not wearing a yarmulke. Right? So not wearing a yarmulke. Is that considered to be chukas akum? Right? So of course you know the Gemara talks about wearing a yarmulke, that it helps increase a person's yiras shamayim, helps increase a person's fear of God.
Isn't it talking about doing something that you're going to do?
Right.
We're not like not wearing a yarmulke. It's not about doing something.
So going with a bare head.
I mean, it's, you're born with that. You're born with that head covering. We start to put a head covering on. We're not going with the way of the going.
Right.
By not doing a head covering. On.
Right. Okay, I hear. Unless, yeah, they wear it. Right. So unless it became a sign of their religion to remove their head covering before, let's say, eating, which seems to apparently have been the practice in some places, and it was actually for religious reasons that they would remove their hat before they were to eat.
Based on that, I was actually once at a Jet game, and it was bitter. It was this time of year, it was bitter cold. They had three or four layers, and just like you know, any American, I put my hand on my chest during that anthem. Some guy just take your damn hat off now, and I didn't want to get the fight. But you know, the contract to take everything off and have a bare head for your national anthem is that something which
they would do. He wears a hat any hour goes to the game. They take the hat off.
Right. So that's one way of dealing. And if you were to remove your hat and left your yarmulke, they probably wouldn't have bothered you.
Or then they would bother me more.
Especially if it was a jet yarmulke.
If it was a jet yarmulke, maybe. One would be
well,
lefty.
That's Croatia anyway.
Oh, can you wear those?
Everyone isn't going to the football game?
Okay, good. Well, we'll get to that. I don't know if they don't know. So if you look, I didn't put it on the sheet, but the Taz. The Taz is Rav David Halevi, who lived in Poland. He was born in 1586. So he writes, and he's printed in most of the classic editions of Shulchan Aruch in Orach Chaim. So there's the Magen Avraham on one side around the Shulchan Aruch, and the other side is the Taz. So the Taz writes that in his day, he says, since Shechoku Achshav Ben Ha'akim, that it is a chok by the law by the Ovdei Kochavim Sheosim King Tamid Teichev Sheyoshim Porkin Me'aleim Akova, that they always take off, remove their hat before they eat. Therefore, he says it is an Isser Gamur. It is absolutely prohibited to go around without a yarmulke. Now there's a question. Let's assume that for Parnassa reasons, we're not talking about for Parnassa reasons. Right, let's take that out of the picture for now. But let's assume that that's a separate issue, which it probably is. But let's just assume that for now. So just can a person sit? He's sitting in his own house. Can he sit around without the yarmulke? Or is there some type of or would that be the whole? It would be interesting that to not wear a yarmulke might, according to the Taz, would be a violation of the Torah prohibition if the whole concept of a yarmulke is only found for the first time in the Gemara. Right? Just, it's an interesting idea that practice would now become something which is prohibited according to the Torah if the whole practice of wearing a head covering would be only for the first time mentioned in the Gemara. Yeah.
What is the practice of one practice of Avodah Zarah to do one thing, and then another practice of the
yeah,
exact opposite, so you can't do both, you can't do one.
I hear. That's a good question. It might depend on where you are. I don't know that for sure. I'm just thinking. And maybe it would depend on who you are more exposed to. Because if the whole purpose of the prohibition, at least through the eyes of the Maharik, is that it would that if you follow their practice, it makes it look like you're doing it to be like them, right? Then maybe it would depend on which one would, you know, you'd look more like. Yeah, which one people would say, oh, you're doing that to look like that. You know, if there's some far off sect of Indian Buddhists in a small town in India who specifically put on a yarmulke to eat something, and you might say, well, if it's prohibited to take off my yarmulke to eat something, but then I can't put it on because they put it on. So, you know, then I would say, well, if you're in America, nobody knows about this small Indian Buddhist sect in the middle of India, then, you know, I don't know that we would be, I would imagine we would take the more prevalent of the two. Although it's an interesting question of, you know, who would this apply to? It's an interesting question. So that's the Taz's opinion. If you look on the sheet, on the back of the sheet, I copied for you a tshuva of the Mahari Brona right in the middle of the page. The Mahari Brona is, Bruna was Rabbi Yisrael ben Rabbi Chaim, who lived in Germany. He was born in the year 1400. So he was the student of the Trumas Hadeshin. So he was born in 1400. So he was living, let's say, 200 years earlier than the Taz, 150 years earlier than the Taz. The Mari Broner writes, was asked about a question that they, in one community, they placed Reuven, as he calls him, who would walk around without a yarmulke on, they put him in Cherem. And they were asking the Mari Broner if it was appropriate that Reuven should be in Cherem for walking around without a yarmulke on. That was the question. So if you look at the Hishavti, where he starts his answer, the Nidui of Nidui, he says, yeah, I think it's a valid Cherem. He says, even though the Gemara in Kiddushin says that only Rav Kahana, who was a great person, he wouldn't walk around with a revealed head. He would always make sure to have his head covered. He says, nevertheless, and you can infer from there that everybody else wouldn't have their head covered. And even though it says in the Gemara in Shabbos that one of the Amoraim says that I'm praised, or I lived a long life, or Tasi Li, I should be praised because I never walked Dalet Amos without a yarmulke on, but that sounds like it was Midas Chasidus, something beyond the strict letter of the law. He says, nevertheless, in the third line of his answer, he says, "Lididhu de be'eretz Yisrael hafu, v'habu maski hafu." He says that applies to the people living in Eretz Yisrael. But Anan, in the underline, the Dairinan bein ha'umos, we who live amongst the nations, the inhu azili begili harosh, and they walk around with an uncovered head, the chashiv kechukos hagayim, and it is like one of their laws to walk around with an uncovered head. Velo minkar bein hon, and we are not recognized amongst them. Ella bekisoy harosh, unless we have a head covering. Chashuv hashtaka over al das yehudis. It is like one is violating das yehudis. So das yehudis is a borrowed term from a Gemara in Ksuvus that talks about a woman who uncovers her hair or who does certain things in public or immodest, and the Gemara talks about how it's violating Das Yehudis, which is not from the Torah, but it's closer to the Torah, it's the accepted norm, so it's something. The Mari Bruna says that in his time in Germany in the 1400s that the the way to distinguish between a Jew and a non-Jew was whether they had a covered head or not, whether they had wore a yarmulke or not. So he says, so since that was the distinction between the Jews and the non-Jews, he says, so, and it's like a chuk of theirs. It's like a law that they specifically don't cover their hair, their head. He says, therefore, if a person were to walk around in that way, and he's placed into chayim, he says, I think it's a valid chayim. That's a very interesting position. Right? Because what it means is, right, or let's take it from the other angle. Would that apply nowadays? Would this svara, this idea that the yarmulke is a distinguishing factor between Jew and non-Jew, and therefore that anybody who walks around without it is comparable to violating Das Yehudis, violating the normal practices of Jews nowadays?
I think so, yes. I don't
yes
see a difference.
Yes and no.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Well, distinguishing factor, yes. Because clearly the Jews are the ones that wear the head. Well, there's also like Muslims wearing different
right
type of head covering. So just but specifically the kippah type like we wear, and you know, that definitely is a distinguishing factor. Most people see when you walk around the street wearing something like this, they figure you're Jewish. They're,
right.
You know,
well,
and what about people who don't wear yarmulkes?
But that doesn't mean you're not. Like that's the no. Like
right.
Just because you're not wearing it does not distinguish that you're only
right.
You know.
So that's why I'm not sure this Ma'ariv Bruna would apply nowadays. Because I don't know. I mean, in a sense, like Mark said, yes and no. A person wearing a yarmulke, it is a distinguishing factor.
Do anything different
to know that you're a Jew. What?
If you do anything different, you're going
it's
to.
It's true. It's true. But if a person is not wearing a yarmulke, it doesn't mean he's not Jewish. Or I mean, it sounds like everybody in his
right
town wore a yarmulke.
Right.
And there weren't Jews who didn't walk around who walked around without yarmulkes.
I don't buy that argument so much.
You?
I don't really agree with that argument. The fact that you're saying that it's okay because people don't wear a yarmulke, it's like, so maybe we're saying that they all should be in chayim, as opposed
well
to saying, well, so many people don't, so then therefore
no,
you don't
no
have
no
to.
No. You see, the question is, how do you define what creates Das Yehudis?
And I mean, Das Yehudis, what would the definition be?
It's hard to define. It's I would say it's the normal expected practices, or the normal practices of the communal norms, in a sense. Based on the Torah. Of course, based on the Torah. And yes, of course, we're supposed to wear a yarmulke. But it doesn't mean that. Okay, so you think that the Ma'ariv Bruna's svara would apply nowadays, in a sense.
Just from this little bit, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's all he says. Now, just to mention, he lived in, what did we say, 1400?
Sure.
So when did we say the Ma'arik lived? 1440? 1420. So they were contemporaries, right? The Ma'arik, which was the last source that we spent a lot of time on, and the Ma'ariv Bruna were contemporaries. So, you know, obviously the Ma'ariv Bruna is not working with the working definition of the Ma'arik to define what Chukas Akum is, and he's coming from a different angle. So would he say that that's considered Chukas Akum? Maybe. He uses the word, he says that it's a chok of theirs, right? So, and does that matter? Is nowadays, is it a chok of the non-Jews around us not to wear?
No, because they wear
no
covers.
Yeah, and then also you
if some rapper put on a yarmulke in a video, all the gangs would start wearing them in a second.
Right.
And then everyone else would start doing it. So.
Right.
So, yeah. But what other conditions aside, you know, people who aren't Jewish go without kippah or they wear a baseball hat.
Right.
That means, you know, when you cover hair, the baseball hats would be, you know, usher as well. You know, obviously if you're outside it's cold, you wouldn't wear something to keep your head warm, but
right
just for purposes of style, whatever, or for, you know, just for your head, you should not be able to put a baseball hat on your head anymore because
well,
you know, that's things show because being Jewish,
according to this idea, if now again, that's if the yarmulke is a distinguishing, in a sense it is,
Yeah, someone may not know that someone's Jewish if they're wearing a sport hat.
Oh, you know.
It's true. It's interesting. Hey, okay, there's one to think about this Maori Bruna. I mean, it's to apply that to nowadays and whether that matters. It happens to be that Ramosha Feinstein was asked about this as well. So nowadays, the common practice is to follow this opinion. Again, the Maori Bruna, it's hard to know. I don't know historically what his community, what the norms of the community, what exactly the community was like. We can probably find out. We can probably do some research and find out what 1400 Regensburg was like, where he was the Rosh Shiva in 1440, and to see what it was like there and where he was being asked this question from, and to see whether that matches up with nowadays, and whether we would follow his opinion, because not everybody would agree with the Maori Bruna's opinion as to, he seems to follow the Taz, who they make an assumption, and the assumption that they're making is that not wearing a yarmulke is chukas akum, right? Is in a sense a chok of the idol worshippers, specifically to uncover their hair. That there's a chok to uncover their hair. Whether it's when they sit down at a meal or whether it's to walk around in the street, there is a chok, a law, in a sense, I guess some type of a religious law, that mandates not to cover their hair.
But these days, it's not really based in any religious.
So, good. So let's see what Ramosha Feinstein says. Right. That's
exactly changed since like our parents were kids and everyone had their head covered outside and
right.
They would come home and they'd remove. To not remove the hat was considered rude.
Disrespectful, right?
But like you look at pictures from like ball games in like the 40s and 50s.
Everybody
every
with
had
a
hat.
Right. They all wore Borsellinos.
Sure. Right. Madman.
So if you look at the bottom of the page is Ramosha's Tshuva. So we're not going to go through the entire thing. Let's just see where it says the start. So this is Ramosha Feinstein in Igros Moshe and his collection of Tshuvos in Yerideya. He says, "V'hine pasha l'fiyanius daiti, da'af mashu vaday nechshav chok ha'akum." Even something that is 100% in the category of being considered chok ha'akum, that it is considered an action which would fall under that prohibition, in hudavar shechazinan she'osim kein kuli alma d'nachim. If we see that everybody does this, all the non-Jews do that practice, follow that practice. Gam ela shalosh shaykh liklal emunasam luchukosem. Even the non-religious ones, the ones who don't practice religion, mitam shekein yoser necha la'alma lehana'asam, but they do this because it's easier for them, or it's more comfortable for them, or they enjoy it more. Kvar leka al ze iser de chukosem lo selechu. It's not us. So even if it's something that should be in the category of one of, let's say, the Maharik's three categories, and it would fall under one of those categories, where it's an action that is unusual, and there's no reason for it. Boy, he says, but if the reason, even if it's enough of a reason to say that they're doing it because it's easier that way, or because they're more comfortable that way, then already that would remove it from the category of this prohibition. The gam pashut shim yasu akum chok la'avodazar shalem lechol eza min midvarim hatovim v'harim mechila. And obviously he says that if a certain sect of religion said that it is one of their practices to eat a certain type of food, something that is normally eaten and healthy to eat, shalo yeyaser oso hamin, doesn't become us. If a certain religion says, you know, nowadays we're going to eat pretzels, and you have to eat pretzels every Sunday afternoon after you leave church, he says it doesn't make pretzels usher to eat. Kimochen kol hana'ah shevolam, anything that is done for pleasure, anything that is done to get benefit, lo shayach shete'aser b'shul sha'akum osu zevachot. It doesn't make sense. You can't say that something that is good, that people do for benefit and for pleasure, that if they do it, it becomes usher as chukas akum. And he says, what about not wearing a yarmulke? So he says, umimela, gam hayeshiva begilui rosh, the sitting around with an uncovered head, That everybody knows that even non-Jews who are not Christians, even atheists who believe in nothing, they sit in their homes and they walk around during the time of the sun, meaning during the summer, with an uncovered head. They're doing it because it's more comfortable for them. They enjoy it more. It's mutter. Again, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't wear yarmulkes. That means that if a person doesn't wear a yarmulke, it's not in this Torah prohibition of chukas akum. Yeah.
So you mentioned that if it's due to pleasure, it's fine. Now, when we started this conversation last week, in my mind, I was visualizing the Colosseum with people kill each other for the pleasure of everyone watching it. And I would assume that the first person at that time, you would not be allowed to go to such an event. Of what we represent, but everyone in those areas were enjoying it, and it was for pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
I would think, it's my thought process when you first brought it up, that
mm-hmm.
I would think that would have been awesome. That's why, and that's why I was thinking
so
Saturday night football would be a derivative.
So Rav Moshe Feinstein, right, in this same tshuva, right. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, right, in this same tshuva, then it would not be included in the Isser of Chukasak. He says that maybe there may be other issues with going to those types of places, but he does not think that it would fall under this issur because it's being done for a reason. Again, he seems to be using the Maharik's understanding of that when is something usur? When there's no reason for it. And the only reason why we would be doing it is so that we should be like the idol worshippers, that we should be like the Akum. But if we're doing it for a reason, and they do it for a reason, because it's hot, so they don't wear anything on their head. They're not doing it for a religious reason. Even and his proof is that even the non-religious non-Jews don't cover their hair, don't cover their heads. He says, so you see that it has nothing to do with chukas akum. There's a reason for it. It's not something unusual that they're doing for no known reason. They're doing it because it's better for them. It's lahana asam. It's lahana gufan. He says, so then that would be something that does not fall under the category of action that is chukas akum. What's interesting is, and I'll just leave this with a question, what if, just a thought, so if, let's assume, and Rav Avadi Yosef says the same thing, basically, as Rav Moshe Feinstein. He also seems to use this opinion of the Maharik, and this opinion of the Maharik, the reason why we spend so much time on it is because that's the lens that we will have to approach every issue, that all these cases that we will discuss through the lens of the Maharik. Does it fit one of his categories? Let's assume that we follow that opinion, because otherwise, according to the Vilna Gaon, it'll be a much broader category, which we can talk about as well. But according to the Maharik, where the whole Isser is, when it's something that's being done for no reason, because then it's obvious that you're doing it to be similar to them, right? Then it's usur. And because the whole reason for the usur is that you're doing something that you want to look like them, that you want to be similar to them. So he's, according to Moshe Feinstein, not wearing a yarmulke does not fall into that category, because walking around without a covering on your head is not chukas akum. Because they're doing it because it's more comfortable. Let's say you had somebody who says, who doesn't wear a yarmulke, but he doesn't wear a yarmulke because he wants to look like a non-Jew. Right? Let's say you have somebody who doesn't wear a yarmulke, but he doesn't do it because it's more comfortable. He does it specifically because he wants to look like a non-Jew. Would that be prohibited under this Isser of chukas akum?
That's also comfort.
Well, I don't know if he's
mentally comfortable. I mean,
performing a.
Let's say he says, "I don't mind wearing a baseball hat."
Not actually doing a photozara.
No, but it might be chukas akum anyway. I mean, chukas akum doesn't have to be a photozara. It's something that has no reason, and is therefore, when we do it, it looks like we're doing it for to be like the non-Jews, right? That we should be similar to them. Doesn't mean it has to do with a photozara.
Well, that's like how an artist how Avaya agrees with Shmuel in the three cases, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So, and everyone else was like, on Shabbos, if you're doing something with an intent for one thing and it leads to doing malacha, it's okay. So here, if you're taking your yarmulke cut off, so even though you will be looking like non-Jews, you're also doing it for comfort, so you should be fine.
If you're doing it for comfort. It's true. If you're doing it for comfort.
But even as a side thing, you're still...
It could be. It could be. It could be. I think it's worth thinking about. It's probably okay, because what Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying is that not wearing a yarmulke is categorically not included in the prohibition of chukas akum. So no matter why a person were to do it, no matter why, whether it's for comfort or if it's to look like them, it wouldn't be usur. Now that's what he seems to say. His position seems to be that the act of walking around without a yarmulke is categorically not included in chukas akum, because they do it not for religious reasons, and there's a reason why they do it. Forget not religious reasons. There's a reason why it's not a meaningless practice. There's a reason. They're more comfortable without a yarmulke or without a hat.
I think it's more not so much it's not even a practice. There's no reason to wear a yarmulke, so that's why they don't wear one.
No, they don't wear one because it's more comfortable not to.
Right.
Meaning, why? Obviously, they wouldn't wear a yarmulke. Not a yarmulke, but a head covering. Right? Anything. Why wouldn't they wear a hat? Because, why would they wear a hat? They're more comfortable without it. But when they're more comfortable with it, they wear it. Like at the football game. They all wear hats. Right? When they're going out to, when it's cold out, they wear a hat. So when it's more comfortable, if it's sunny, they wear a hat. So when it's more comfortable to wear, to cover their hair, their head, they do. And when it's more comfortable not to, they don't. So you see that and that's fine. They're allowed to. The Rav Moshe Feinstein is pointing out is that therefore, since that's the reason why they choose whether to wear a hat or not, is based on their comfort, then it has nothing to do with chukas akum, because we have a reason for it. Just like the reason why the doctors wear the doctor coat and why doctors wear scrubs, because that means something. It represents something. It's a uniform. So. It would probably, the answer to my question is probably that it doesn't matter why one person were to choose to not wear a yarmulke. The fact that we've categorically taken the act of walking around without a yarmulke out of chukas akum, so no matter why one were to do it, it wouldn't matter.
I mean, in that example, the person is specifically not just for comfort, but to blend in, you know, among the goyim. Now, if he's trying to actually blend in with the goyim and be like them, there are bigger issues of things he will be going over than this. But other than that, you know, he's just trying not to be persecuted for being Jewish. I wouldn't necessarily think that would be an issue either way.
Well, if it's to save his life, he's worried about
being persecuted. Well, I'm not thinking it'll be, you know, a life or death, but, you know, some people don't look upon it favorably, and you don't want to risk that.
And therefore what? You think there would be a reason for
that? I mean, if you said the person was not wearing kippah because not doing converts because he wants to blend in with the goyim, that's just a stepping stone before he does all the treif and other things. So
right.
It's worse than them not wearing kippah.
Right.
You know, but if he's not wearing kippah just because he wants to not be persecuted, then I don't see it being a problem either.
Right.
I don't mean to be like that.
What Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying is it doesn't matter why he doesn't wear a yarmulke. It's not chukas akum, because their practice of not covering their head is a reason, can be an explained practice. And based on the Maharik, if you can explain why they do this, then it's not usher. It doesn't become chok akum, because it's not a chok. Right? He says either if it's a chok, or if it's for immodesty, or if it's for avodah zarah practices, those are the only times it's usher. If it's not immodest, and if it's not for Avodah Zarah, but it's just something that they do, and there's a reason why they do it, even if it's just because they're more comfortable that way, then it's not chukas akum. That's why he said, if it's a food that they say, we're all going to eat this food, even if it's for Avodah Zarah, they say, we're going to worship Avodah Zarah by eating pretzels, he says, that's not usher. That doesn't become usher. Right? That's what he said. Most shayach shete usher. Doesn't make sense that would be included in the usher of chukas akum, because it's a food that everybody eats, so you can't say that therefore it's usher as something that they do. Right, so that's where Moshe finds him and draw the line, and we'll see as we go next week, and we'll see about the week after about some other questions that come up regarding these issues. But you know, these are the the building blocks, the fundamentals of this discussion are based on this Maharik.
Now, just to clarify, Rav Feinstein is not saying that it's okay not to wear yarmulke.
Correct.
But it's just not hukkah.
Correct. 100%. Yes. Just to clarify, thank you for the clarification. Yes. Rav Moshe Feinstein is not advocating not wearing yarmulke. He was asked about the topic of chukas akum, and he's saying that not wearing yarmulke does not fall under the prohibition of chukas akum. But certainly, he would agree that it's an important practice, and especially because in light of the Mahari Bruna, he doesn't quote the Mahari Bruna, but this Mahari Bruna is an interesting idea that not wearing a yarmulke and not using that distinguishing factor between Jew and non-Jew is, in his mind, a very significant breach in the Das Yehudis, in that which is expected amongst the Jewish people. So yes, 100%, Rav Moshe Feinstein is not advocating not wearing a yarmulke. He would agree that it's something that's very important, and I would say that, you know, I don't know where our communities, where we would fall in regard to the Mahari Brunas community, and whether it would be considered such a break of the communal norms that it would be considered something that's, you know, on the outside. Again, Parnassa reasons aside, but whether that would be the case. But yes, certainly Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying the person should wear a yarmulke. It's just, if one doesn't, it's not a violation of chukas akum.